In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we were to look for a verse that sums up the gospel, most people would point to the passage that we just read, John 3:16. Not just that passage, but that was in it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is a good choice. But we have to understand that verse and the context that it comes in the gospel. We read that passage today because today is the Sunday before the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. And so this reading points us to the cross. And Christ here tells us that it was through Christ's sacrifice for our sins that salvation is offered to whosoever believes. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In the book of Numbers, we're told about how on one occasion when the people of Israel rebelled against God, that he punished them by sending poisonous serpents among the people who killed many of the people. And the people repented and they came to Moses and they asked him to pray to the Lord that God would remove that punishment. Now, obviously, God could have simply just sent the serpents away, but this was one of those occasions where, by prophecy, was planted in the law a foreshadowing of what was to come in the New Testament. God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and to hang it on a pole, and that when people were bitten, they were told to look at that bronze serpent, and if they did so, they would be healed. And what the significance of this is, and this is a whole other sermon we could go into on another occasion, but just briefly, Christ came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he did not have sin in himself. Unlike the serpents that actually had poisonous venom, which represents the sin, Christ was a divine man free from sin, and so he had a different character than the serpents. And by his death on the cross on our behalf, we can be healed of that venom of sin in our lives and be saved. And then it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." There are a branch of Protestants called the Calvinists that teach that Christ died only for a select few. He didn't die for everyone, he just died for those that before all ages God determined would be saved, and everybody else God determined would be damned. And so it's only for those people that Christ died. But this passage says that God so loved the world, not just part of the world, not just the select few. It could have easily said, "For God so loved the elect," but it didn't. God so loved the world. And so this refutes that idea that it was just for those people that Christ died. But we're also told that Christ didn't come to earth to condemn the world, but to save it. And a lot of times people take this by itself without reading what follows, and they say, "Well, see, Christ doesn't condemn." Well, that's not why Christ came. Christ doesn't come to condemn. But you have some people who take this so far as to try to argue that therefore all people will be saved. And the church rejects this. As a matter of fact, if you read St. John Chrysostom's homily on this passage, you'll find that he begins by talking about it. And there are some people who, looking for excuses and cover for their sin, believe that everyone will be saved and that there is no hell and there is no punishment, but that God forgives everyone and he will save everyone. And he goes on to refute that. That's not what the church teaches. And it's very clear by what follows. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." True faith in Christ is not merely agreeing that there is a God. The Apostle James in his epistle talks about how even the demons believe that there is a God. Demons have perfect theology. They know all about God, a lot more than any human would ever know in this life. And it's not just agreeing with the teachings of the gospel, I should say, but it's faith that works by love. It's faith that actually takes those teachings and puts them into action because we love God. It's faith that is faithful. And we have a choice to make. Do we love the darkness more than the light? We can't live in the darkness. We can't do evil and live like the devil and then expect that on the day of judgment that God is just a kindly grandfather who just winks at our sins and says, that was a bad boy there, but is just going to overlook it. Because if God overlooks sin, and if sin wasn't a big deal, why would he have sent his son to die on the cross? I mean, that's a pretty radical remedy. God takes sin very seriously. God hates sin. God hates sins and he punishes sin, but he loves the world. He loves the world so much that he came in human flesh and he paid the penalty for our disobedience and died in our place. And if we believe in him and we trust in him and receive his mercy, then we don't have to pay that penalty. But on the other hand, if we reject him, if we choose to live in the darkness, if we choose not to really believe in him in the real sense of the word believe, then we will be condemned. And it's not that Christ condemns us, it's that we condemn ourselves by our choice. In the second epistle reading that we heard today, it began with the words, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Obviously, this wouldn't have been said if it was impossible that the grace of God could be received in vain. Everyone who's an Orthodox Christian has been baptized, has received the sacraments, you've received the grace of God. But trust me, it is possible for you to have received all of those things in vain and for those things to actually be for your greater condemnation if you don't actually strive to live a life pleasing to God. And in this passage, when it says that we are workers together with him, the word workers together is a form of the Greek word, of a Greek word from which in English we get the word synergy. We work together with God. It's not that we are equal partners with God. It's not that God does 50% and we do 50%. But what that means is that God does expect our cooperation. God expects us to actually repent and to believe. Those are conditions on our salvation. We can never earn our salvation. No one on the day of judgment is going to stand before God and say, God, I did this, this, and this. I lived a very good life, and so you owe me salvation. It will only be by God's mercy that any of us are saved. But the condition for our salvation is that we believe and that we repent. And we may have to repent 1,000 times in a day because we fall. But if we trust in Christ and his mercy, and we are really asking him to help us to live a life that's pleasing to him, then we will be saved. What we have to understand is that being a Christian is the way of the cross, and the way of the cross is not the way of self-actualization. It's not the way of doing whatever we want and getting whatever we want out of life and seeking our own will and our own pleasure. It's not my will, but thy will. That's what the way of the cross is. That's what we need to do as Christians. We have to look to Christ, who was crucified for our salvation, and trusting his mercy and accepting the forgiveness of our sins, in gratitude offer up ourselves, our whole lives, and all that we are and have to the Father who did not spare his only begotten Son for us. Amen.